Part 5. Rainy. Chapter 12. Henry wakes her early. Rainy is surprised she's slept. He signals her to follow him outside the bear den. They sit in the cold morning where the light is barely enough to make out the separation of shapes. Henry points and Rainy sees the distant beams sweeping the hungry hills.
"It is time for us to go, niece."
They wake Dolores and use the light of Rainy's cell phone to gather themselves. When they're ready to leave, Rainy pulls the blanket from the entrance and rolls and ties it. One by one, they crawl into the cold, gray morning. Wordless, the two women follow Henry. As the day slowly breaks, he leads them north. They move in a single line. Henry has cautioned them about leaving as little sign as possible. Avoid soft soil and try to leave no tracks. Step over the underbrush, not through it. Be careful not to break any of the foliage as you pass. If you snap a fallen branch underfoot, pick it up and throw it far to the side. If you step on rocks, don't displace them. Even with all this caution, Rainy knows they won't be completely invisible. But it will slow the men who are tracking them. Despite his age, Henry keeps them all moving quickly. The land through which they travel was shaped eons ago by both massive volcanic upheavals and the relentless scrape of glaciers. What's left exposed is some of the oldest rock on Earth. It is a varied landscape of lakes, streams, marshes, sudden rock outcrops, and sheer cliffs. Rainy has often thought there could be no more beautiful place in the world, but now she sees mostly how difficult it is to traverse and wishes it were flatter and less populated by bramble. After an hour, they come to a scattering of boulders, and Henry signals them to stop. They sit among the rocks, careful, as Henry has advised them, not to scrape loose any of the lichen growing there. They haven't eaten since the light meal the night before, and Rainy breaks out more jerky and divides the biscuits. "I thought you were going to work your way east, Henry, back to Alouette," Rainy says, "but we just keep going north."
"If these vultures who follow us have half a brain, niece, that is exactly what they will expect us to do, to seek the shortest route to safety. As soon as they see that we have turned east, they will move swiftly to cut us off. Maybe they could succeed in this, maybe not, but I would rather be cautious. North, I feel safe."
"Maybe they've given up," Dolores says hopefully. "We've come a long way."
"They are hungry, and I think they will not stop until they have tasted blood,"
Henry says. Dolores' eyes go wide with fear.
"Ours?"
"Or enough of their own,"
the old man says.
"What do they want?"
Dolores asks, more of herself than the others. Rainy can see how drawn the woman's face is. Dolores is tired, of course, because none of them slept well. And before that, there was the deep concern she brought with her into the sweat, which she said was about her marriage. But Rainy wonders now if there is more to it than that.
"Maybe it has something to do with your husband," she suggests. "You said he's been acting distant lately."
"A midlife crisis, I thought. Maybe a little tired of being married."
Dolores stares down at her hands.
"Or maybe just tired of me."
"Do you believe that?"
"I don't know what to believe. I can hardly believe I'm here right now with a bunch of wolves at our heels, and I swear to you, Rainy, I have no idea why. But it's got to be because of Lou, right? I mean, me, I'm nobody."
"The why can wait," Henry says. "To stay ahead of the wolves, that is what is important now."
Dolores takes a deep breath and looks at the sky.
"Storm coming."
Rainy has seen the clouds mounting and felt the lingering cold in the air. Dolores is right. A storm is coming, and what it will bring is worrisome.
"Gonna cotton,"
Henry says.
"What?" Dolores asks.
Snow, Rainey translates. Dolores slumps.
Oh, God, just what we don't need.
Snow can be a good thing,
Henry says. Dolores gives him a tired, irritated look.
How?
Henry's dark eyes settle on her for a long while.
Like a beautiful face, snow can hide much beneath it.
I need to relieve myself, Rainey says. I could tinkle too, Dolores says.
The other side of the rocks,
Henry says.
Disturb nothing.
They have walked all morning under a threatening sky. At noon, they come to a marsh with a small pond at its center. The area is filled with tamaracks and stunted black spruce.
Rest,
Henry says. An hour earlier, he'd asked for the hatchet Rainey brought from the cabin, and he'd cut a sturdy branch from a hard maple. He'd taken the knife from the knapsack, trimmed the twigs and leaves so that only a bare stick remained, 3 feet in length. Remembering that they were supposed to leave no trace, Rainey had asked him what the stick was for. The old man said only,
"You will see."
After that, as he walked, he'd use the knife to shave a sharp point on the end of the stick. Now, as they pause, Rainey sees him searching the edges of the marsh. When they have rested, he gestures to Dolores.
"You go that way,"
he points west.
"Walk as I have shown you, carefully. Leave no trail. We will meet on the other side of this pond."
"What about you?" Dolores asks.
"My niece and I will go this way."
He nods toward the east.
"Why?" Dolores asks.
"Just go," Rainey says. "Henry knows what he's doing." The woman starts left, and Rainey turns with Henry to circle the pond in the other direction.
"Niece,"
Henry says,
"leave boot prints."
"What? But Uncle Henry,"
she begins. The old man lifts his white eyebrows, and Rainey silences herself and does as he has asked. They walk for 100 yards until they come to a fallen, rotting tamarack trunk. When Rainey lifts her foot to step over, Henry says,
"Use your heel to scrape the lichen from the bark."
Another clear sign of their passing, but it's what Henry has asked, and so she complies. The moment her foot hits the ground on the other side of the fallen tamarack, Henry says,
"Stop, niece."
He steps over the trunk and holds up the knife with which he's sharpened the stick.
"Now, step away."
As Rainey watches, Malou digs a narrow hole where her foot landed, and he plants the stick with the sharpened point jutting 4 inches above the ground.
"Bring me leaves and old brush," he says.
She brings him what she's gathered, and carefully Henry covers the sharpened point. When he's finished, Rainey can't tell that there is anything beneath. She looks across the pond and can see that Dolores is waiting for them. Henry's trap has taken precious time, and Rainey isn't sure it has any chance of working. As if sensing her concern, Henry says,
"If we are lucky, niece, they will see that even rabbits have sharp teeth. It will make them step more carefully, slow them in their coming."
She prays that Henry is right.